And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hello everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, fleeing across the galaxy with criminal fugitives. Fugitives, a disguised Obi-Wan, Cad Bane, and Moral Eval are tenaciously pursued by Anakin and Ahsoka, who have no idea that they're chasing their friend. There will be Eval just done with everyone's shit. Bane and Obi-Wan go shopping, and Anakin has a showdown with Cad Bane. We're talking about friends and enemies this week. Oh my god, Chris, any moment now.
That's right, we're still waiting on, it's been a week, it's only been like an hour and a half for us, but we're still waiting on the Last Jedi trailer dropping. If it drops tonight while we're recording, we're gonna just stop what we're doing in the podcast, and we're gonna give you a live reaction, because not really for you, but just because we want to see the stupid thing.
Yeah. If you guys didn't listen to last week's episode, we're recording two episodes tonight. So this is our second episode that we're recording. So we know that during Monday Night Football, they're going to be dropping the new Last Jedi trailer. And so I have my Twitter notifications on. I'm just waiting for StarWars.com to drop the notification. And we are still waiting. And I just checked the Monday Night Football game, and they're about to go into halftime. So that's promising. Give me the fucking trailer. I need it. You know, I was thinking about something, though, Chris. Should we introduce ourselves at the beginning of the podcast? Like, what if people have been listening for, like, 50 episodes and they don't know who we are?
I'm Chris Honeywell.
I'm Hobolinax. Nice to meet you guys.
Even if they listen, though, if they get by the end of the episode, we talk about who we are and where they can find us and stuff.
That's true. So never mind. Screw you guys. You guys don't even know who I am. You don't know me.
No, that's how our Garage Sale podcast goes. Very rarely do I ever introduce us. Maybe that's just because I'm rude. But yeah, we just go in like, hey, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
There's the one guy with, and the people, like, new listeners are like, there's the guy with the nasally voice and the guy with the deep voice.
Yeah. You guys aren't here for us. You guys are here for Star Wars. Right. We know. You don't have to lie to us. You know, we Chris has a thick skin. I'll cry, but
I don't care, yeah.
Oh, man.
So, I don't need your acceptance.
So last week, you had said that was a random episode you caught. Have you seen this episode?
I have not.
Okay, I was wondering.
I didn't see either of these. Like, after a certain point with Clone Wars, it was probably, I was probably just really busy in my life. I just stopped catching it, like, week after week. And it was probably because we slowed down, we stopped doing it on the podcast for whatever reason on the Star Wars podcast. And I would just catch a show, you know, every once in a while I'd turn on the TV and catch an episode or something. Because I definitely seen the last episode. I have not seen this episode, and I'm pretty sure I have not seen the resolution of this arc either, because I would have remembered it.
Yeah.
Especially with the impression that the first step, the beginning of this arc made on me.
Yeah. Well, do you want to get started?
I'm ready.
I'm ready, too. Friends and Enemy is the 82nd episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on January 27, 2012. It was written by Brent Friedman, and I'm so sorry. I'm about to butcher your name. I'm so sorry. And it was directed by Bosco Nig. Nick?
I'm not really sure how that is produced.
Pronounced.
I'm not very sure how much of anything's pronounced, obviously. No. Yeah, I'm familiar with that last name, but I've seen people who are named Nguyen or something like that, but I don't know how just NG is pronounced. If somebody out there can tell us, we'll know next time he directs. We'll get it right then.
I don't know this enunciation symbol.
If I had to guess, I would go ing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know this pronunciation symbol. I'm actually usually pretty good with my English.
All I know is I love the first name Bosco. That's a great first name, Bosco.
Yeah, sounds like a bounty hunter.
I think it used to be a brand name for grease that you put in your hair.
Oh, I thought Costco. Anyway,
Costco would be a crappy name. I'd hate to be named Costco Honeywell.
It's like naming your child.
But I'd love
Blue.
To be named Bosco Honeywell.
Yeah, it's like naming your child Blue. So, I forgot what somebody named their child Blue, some famous celebrity dad. Anyway, that's not important right now. Some extra information for you about the episode. When Cad Bane and Yval and Obi-Wan are in Pablo's shop, a Phase 1 clone trooper helmet can be seen briefly with the other equipment. Also, when Cad Bane is looking for a new hat, he briefly considers the Indiana Jones iconic fedora.
I saw that.
Rico Hardin's new helmet design is based on an early Ralph McQuarrie Boba Fett concept. The helmet design was included in the McQuarrie Signature Series Boba Fett action figure released by Hasbro in 2007. Sorry, 2007. I can't talk tonight. The luxury 3000 ship yacht that Hardin uses is based on a design developed for Lando Calrissian's expanded universe ship Lady Luck. As I talked about this last week, if you go on StarWars.com and then go to this episode and look under the trivia, you'll get to see a picture of this, and they're really, really, really cool. One of the posters in the saloon is advertising that the Podracer Sebulba will be signing autographs Saturday at 10 a.m. Because apparently they have Saturdays on Star Wars Wars land. This episode has influence for Rebels as well. They wanted to
That means they know about Saturn. What the hell? They're far, far away from our galaxy.
Yep. This episode has influences for Rebels as well. They wanted Ithorian to play the role of the bartender. Up to this point, Ithorians hadn't spoken in common language yet, so they designed a translator to wear on the side of his mouth so he could be understood. This allowed for Old Joe, the bartender in Ezra's hometown, to be understood in Rebels, which I thought was cool. I never had thought about that before. And the Orondia, that's what it was. Orondia station design is a type of location that Dave Filoni imagined since he was a child. He says, "I always wondered where Vader went after the Death Star blew up. I picture him flying to a remote moon where he landed on the surface and was greeted by stormtroopers. It was very gray, bleak image in my mind." And another inspirational cue for the Orondia station was a truck stop gas station from Toy Story. So Vader went to the Toy Story world.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, but I thought that was cool. He was just like, I thought my entire life about this place that Vader went to, and it was a gas station. I was like, Dave Filoni, come on, man. Save your cool designs for cool stuff. You know who also likes cool stuff?
Cool, moist stuff.
Shut up, Yoda, it's here!
Like a toad.
It's here, Yoda. Shut up! Last Jedi trailer.
Sexy toad skin. It's here?
It's here! No, wait. Where is it? I saw it. I think it's here. Let me go on Twitter. I think Star Wars. I can't stop. Oh, I'm so excited! I can't type! Watch the last Jedi trailer. Get your tickets now. Okay, take me there. Take me there. Show me. Oh, it's here. Oh, stop. Honeywell, I'm going to send this to you. Ready?
Send me the link.
Stop trying to play on me. I'm trying to send it to Chris. Oh, I'm so excited. It's on Twitter, so it's going to start. No. Copy. Skype.
It's going to send you to YouTube anyway.
Yeah. No, it's not. Cause they have it embedded in their. Actually, I might as well just look up on their thing. But, it's here, Honeywell.
I'm clicking on the link.
I need to move your face away from here. Chris' face, go down there. You ready?
Okay, well, hang on. I had to. It just started playing.
I know.
So I got it paused. I got it full screened.
Okay.
It's 2 minutes and 24 seconds.
Okay.
And
you ready?
Like we do with our movie commentaries.
What?
I'm going to give
one,
a little.
One, two, three, go.
Wait, hang on. I'm going to give a little countdown so the listeners at home can watch this along with us, so they know exactly what we're reacting for.
I don't care right now.
I'm going to turn the volume. Oh, the volume's all the way up on mine. And here we go. 3, 2, 1. Here we go. Go. Okay. Factory looking.
You,
Empire Place.
I saw raw.
Walkers with gorilla
hands and power.
A little. Oh my God!
And
a shadow.
That, something truly special.
Not much being given away here. I like the echo from the scene
Something.
From episode 3, Anakin going in the Jedi Council.
Inside me has always been there.
Luke looks like Tom Petty.
And I was awake. And I need help. I've seen this raw strength only once before. It didn't scare me enough then.
Oh, Mark Hamill! Mark Hamill is looking like he gets to choose some scenery. Ooh, does he have like machinery underneath there? Is that a tattoo?
If you have to, that's the only way to become what you were meant to be.
Saying he's gunning for his ma.
We have a spark that'll light the fire that'll burn the First Order down. Come on!
Well,
this is not going to go the way you think.
Well,
I need someone to show me my place in all this.
I guess that's the part that they were talking about that they didn't want people to was giving away too much.
You know, I've seen a lot of people talking about how The Last Jedi is not only about Leia, or not Leia, I'm sorry, Rey, but also Kylo coming back to the light side. I've seen a lot of people speculate about that. Oh my God.
I think people are really missing the point with Rey where they're saying she's too powerful. I think that's going to be the problem.
I think
that's going to be the big problem. I think there's that scene in there where, and we were too busy reacting and we were recording, so I didn't hear a lot of the Snoke dialogue that was good out there. But there's a scene with Luke training her and the ground cracks beneath him and Luke is just like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So she's, you know, way more powerful than she should be, which means she's a loaded gun. And she could end up going to the dark side, like, very quickly.
Yeah. are.
I don't know. I think that was a very nice trailer.
Me too. I wanted to see more Rose. I was looking for Rose. But can we talk about Finn facing off against fucking Phasma?
With one of the weird bug zapper things from the first movie.
I thought that was maybe an altered lightsaber.
No, I think that's the stormtrooper weapon that they had that he fought the stormtrooper with his lightsaber in Force Awakens. That's what it looked like, at least. I don't know. I'll have to watch it another couple dozen times tonight and analyze it frame by frame.
Yeah.
But it looks pretty dark. I like I like that they have that we got to see some of the First Order technology where they're trying. It's like, here's our walkers, but they give them. They almost look like gorilla arms on the front, like the way they walk with their knuckles down.
Yeah.
And Kylo Ren's made himself his own Darth Vader TIE fighter, so he can be cool too. And it looks like he might be going to take out his mother. At least that's how they cut it to look. But that's how they cut it to look, so who knows?
I'm just watching everyone, like, freak out on Twitter right now.
But they definitely are drawing a connection to Kylo Ren and Leia. Which, I mean, there is definitely a connection between the two of them. But there's definitely going to be an involvement with Leia in this movie. Oh, it's so sad that Carrie Fisher died.
Yeah. Oh man, I need to watch it like 12
more times.
Can we just like not record and like let us watch it like 4 more times? Oh man,
we're gonna whip through this show.
I must post something.
I like the haggard Luke. He looks like Tom Petty.
Tom Petty. Him looking so scared at Rey's power, I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, it looks like we might get Mark Hamill to really... This might be Mark Hamill's big acting chance in all the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in his performance. All the years of voice acting might have really helped. And all the years of living life. But it's... I like the haggard, beat up, a little bit crazed Luke Skywalker. Maybe not the sanest Luke Skywalker. I'm curious. It looks good and dark.
You know, in one of the biggest criticisms was how much that Force Awakens was like A New Hope. I remember when we were talking about it,
I'm kind of resigned that this is going to be they're going to use the same formula with this.
But so, do you still think that it's going to be, not Revenge of the Sith, Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah. I do. Mostly Empire Strikes Back. I mean, Force Awakens was mostly Star Wars story beats wise, but it had a little bit of Return of the Jedi and Empire thrown into it for visually and for good measure here and there. So this one will probably be a melange of all the originals, but following the main story elements of Empire, probably with a few things reversed or in a different configuration, but it's going to be the same sort of thing. The differences in the story from Empire are going to be what shades it, you know, the Vader-Luke dynamic is reversed or something, you know, something, there'll be things reversed and changed and stuff. I don't really, I really hope that it doesn't do that. I hope that it breaks loose of that and just does whatever it has to do to tell its story, honestly. But I don't think... I think Disney is sort of bound and determined to sort of try to keep them in the J.J. Abrams format of the first movie. So we'll see. Rian Johnson's an interesting director, but, you know, there's also limited to how much that director has as a real say in the final product too, because it's a Star Wars movie. So we'll see. I'm hopeful from it. Visually, it looks really good, and it looks very dramatic. So that I like that.
I'm just still not over Finn versus Phasma. That's just gonna be amazing.
Hopefully, or it'll just be a 2-second clash. You don't know from the trailer. That's the thing, is don't get yourself hyped up for anything being what it is in that trailer, because we don't know the context of anything. That could just be they could have just a couple clashes before the ship blows up and they both run off in different directions. Who knows? You know. Hopefully there will be an epic battle between the two of them, because they got some history, so they got some aggression. So we'll see. I think we're gonna have a lot. Man. I think we might have a lot of characters. Phasma is a character I think that could end up on. We could end up with a lot of characters turning from the First Order to the First Order is more of a cult than the Empire. The Empire was the power structure.
You know, I've been reading the Phasma comics, and I've been reading the Phasma comics, and I don't feel that from her, because she purposely tricked a group of people in need to be soldiers just so she could get to a fucking ship and watch them get murdered.
Yeah,
and she had a pilot with her. The thing about that though
is a cult, you can be totally in the cult, but once one or two of the principal things like Kylo Ren or Snoke starts to crumble, there's a very strong chance that a good number of people in the cult will go like, ah, yeah, you know what? Screw this. This is wrong. You know, this is, I got hoodwinked. You know, so it's a different thing than the Empire. You could have people see the errors of their ways in it or something. I don't know. It depends. That's the thing, is that that's all stuff that I've gotten from stuff outside of the movies. You know what I mean? The Force Awakens did not spell out what the nature of the First Order was very well in the movie.
You know, but I also argue back that Episode 3 didn't really do a good job with Order 66 and all the clones and stuff like that. And then we got Clone Wars.
Right,
so I'm still hoping that...
Oh, well, they've written books explaining it, and it makes a lot more sense, and it does make the story better. I wish they would have explained it in the movie, because there's a lot of people who just watch the movies and are just sort of like, so I don't get it. The Empire just kept going, but they're just a different, you know, they don't know that they're sort of like a rogue terrorist group, you know. They live out in the outskirts, and they're illegal, and nobody takes them seriously except for Princess Leia. That's easy to establish, but they really didn't establish it. They made it seem like they were the ones in control, sort of, that they were still the Empire, when in fact they were a completely illegal outsider organization. So...
I really hope that's the next animated show as soon as Rebels ends, and they'll fill in that gap. So
that would be cool. That would be really cool. It would be awesome if Kylo Ren was in it and Snoke and stuff.
Yeah,
that would be really cool. That could happen, though. I guess that could happen, because that's sort of where Clone Wars... Well, Clone Wars didn't come in until after all three movies were over, but... So we might have to wait till 2019, maybe, to get into that area. But who knows? Who knows? They might be doing it different.
I guess I should turn off Twitter. I'm just watching everybody right now react.
No more Twitter.
So, oh yeah, hi Yoda. Sorry, totally interrupt you.
Yoda has patience. Lots of patience.
Sorry. Okay, let me actually put Twitter.
Step away from the Twitter, Hope.
No, but
Step back from the tweeter.
Okay. I'm gonna close it in three. Anything else, guys? Two. One. Okay. It's off
and
now.
Clone Wars.
Okay. Okay. With the lamest platitude ever.
I have some things to say about this one.
Okay.
Keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer. In bed.
Yay, the most generic one ever.
So you're gonna have sex with your enemies while your friends watch? That's pretty kinky. Pretty kinky. That is a mafia saying.
Yeah.
I was like, because I remember that saying comes from The Godfather Part 2. That's where I always remember, because it's a memorable line in it, you know, my father always gave me the advice, you know, keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer. And a lot of times, I guess it gets attributed to Sun Tzu or Machiavelli, but I guess neither of them said it. It first turned up in The Godfather Part 2. So basically, this is just sort of, I guess this is a sort of sketchy undercover episode, so I guess it's good to quote the mafia. But it's definitely mafia advice.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm back on Twitter. I'll close it.
it makes sense in this issue, in this episode. Why do I do that? It's like some sort of space dyslexia, where when I talk about comics, I want to call them episodes, and when I talk about TV shows, I want to call them issues. I must be the one with issues.
I have issues right now.
You have issues that need tissues.
Yeah, I mean, I'm back on Twitter again. I have issues. Okay. Turning it off for good until we're done. Okay, no more. It's off now officially.
Oh, you'll be reading pretty soon. So, there's just reading and talking with one eye, and then reading Twitter with the other eye. It ain't gonna work.
Yeah, I could be reading right now. Act one.
Act one.
All right. Last week, to undercover an assassination plot to kill Chancellor Palpatine, Obi-Wan faked his death to go undercover. Through the powers of Star Wars science, his face and his voice has been changed to look like the bounty hunter Reiko Hardeen. He snuck into a prison to find Moralo Eval, who was supposedly behind the assassination plot. Obi-Wan wasn't expecting that our favorite bounty hunter, Cad Bane, to be working for Eval as well. Bane is also starting to assume that something is up with Hardeen and Kenobi, and the three of them escaped prison and are now fleeing. Oh, also, Anakin is super dark side pissed this week, and he's upset that Obi-Wan was killed. He is now on a vendetta trip to go after Reiko Hardeen, not realizing that it's Obi-Wan Kenobi. On to this week! So we start with Hardeen Kenobi crashing their stolen ship into the swamps of Nal Hadda. Bane is like, "You're insane! I'm a freaking bounty hunter! I've seen a lot of shit, but you're trying to kill us too!" And Hardeen Kenobi is like, "We have a stolen ship! We can't go to a spaceport!" So he crashes the ship into the swamp despite Bane's disapproval because Eval thinks that the heart, stars, and horseshoes of Hardeen.
Ooh, I've never heard that saying before.
I think I've said it a couple times. The whole heart, stars, and horseshoes.
Never heard it before. No, I like it.
Yeah, and little lucky charms there. Clovers and blue moons, pots of gold and rainbows, and that red balloon. Anyway, where am I? With no ship and wearing orange prison jumpsuits, the three men do what most the most important thing ever. They go shopping! This episode was brought to you by Queer Eye for the Space Guys. They head to the local bazaar and go to Pablo's pawn shop. Bane is like, "Guys, this is my favorite store. They have everything you need for bounty hunters. Let's go shopping!" Now that they have new clothes and Bane has his trademark hat, he strangles the shop owner, Pablo, to find better weapons. Bane leaves. Obi-Wan tries to pay Pablo and his assistant, but they smack away his money. Hardeen Kenobi tries to sow seeds of doubt in Eval about Bane's actions, but Cad is like, "Everyone here is an outlaw. No one will mess with us. Now split up. Yval and I will find weapons. Hardeen will get the ship. And Bane tells Yval that he wants to ditch Hardeen. Yval is like, oh, did he hurt your little feelings? Is it hitting you and what you care about most? Money? And Bane is like, I want to get paid and fuck that guy up. Let's go find some blasters. Obi-Wan haggles for a ship and sticks a tracker on it. Bane and Yval show up to pay for the ship. Hardeen Kenobi is like, dude, where's my blaster? And Bane is like, bye, bitch, we're leaving you. And the guards arrive with Pablo to arrest them. Bane shoots gas in Hardeen Kenobi's face and kicks him off the stairs. Yval and Bane take the ship, leaving Kenobi behind to guard for the guards to capture. What'd you think of Act 1?
I like it.
I like it too.
You notice, Hardeen kind of sounds like Anakin.
Huh!
He kind of has a deep tone to Anakin's voice, and the way he talks is sort of Anakin-like.
That's funny, because it's Obi-Wan's voice actor.
I know, and I was wondering if it was maybe he was thinking Obi-Wan was going to channel a little of his inner Anakin.
I know for the episode featurette, a featurette of this, like, when James Arnold Taylor saw a picture of Hardeen for the first time, he noticed that, like, his nose was kind of crooked, so he'd probably be a little, like, more throaty because he couldn't talk through his nose as much, so he purposely chose a deeper, throatier voice.
I think they electronically altered it a little bit. Just a titch. Just a little bit. It has a little bit of, like, electronically altered sound to it.
Well, he does have a droid in his throat.
Well, that's what I think they did that to make it sort just off a little bit, so it's like more of a like 5% synthesized voice, maybe even less than that. But it almost had that aspect to it. But it's funny to watch it and like he does. There's that Alec Guinness Obi-Wan way of talking. And you can tell he's purposely avoiding that, you know. So you never hear like something that's like, "Oh, that sounds like something like the way Obi-Wan would say it." He does not do that.
Yeah, the only time I would say that he comes close is when he's trying to pay Pablo. But even then, it's more of his actions is like that.
You think they called it Pablo's because of Pablo after Pablo Hidalgo, probably?
I didn't think about that. Just being able to get
his name in there.
Maybe.
Or they did it to pick on him or something, or just to... Man, Bane has good hat luck, because that's almost exactly his hat. Distinctive hat, you know? I mean, that's just... It's not a practical hat to wear. And what I like that's funny is when they're walking around in their prison outfits and they see the, like, local cops rousting those people, they instantly start acting more suspicious. They like slouch off, like instantly looking way more suspicious than they did just sort of walking normally before they were aware, you know, self-aware. I thought that's a nice little bit of, you know, physical acting that's done, you know, completely by the animators. So it's just really, it's really neat, you know, because This is all before they really were using mocap and stuff like that. They probably don't use mocap for like Rebels now too. It's probably expensive. So they're getting really good at like body language and facial expressions and really getting good performances out of their animated characters, more so than a lot of animated shows before this time.
Yeah.
My only other note is my usual first act color scheme note is tan and orange. It was brown and orange last time. This one's switched to a more tan and orange color palette.
Yeah, which is very Noel Hata.
Yeah.
Did you see Monocle the Hutt? He was very, very small cameo. He was slithering.
I did not. I missed him.
Yeah, he was slithering through when they were trying to act not suspicious by acting suspicious.
I was paying attention to their exquisite animated body language.
I only have two notes for this act.
This is like the shortest notes ever from Hope. Ever.
Yeah. For one, I like that even when he's, like, really deep undercover, Obi-Wan is still trying to do the Jedi thing and help pay Pablo and, like, make sure he's okay.
Right. Anakin wouldn't have done... Well, Anakin might have done that, actually. But, yeah, it's... And it's fun, and he's actually kind of endangering the mission by doing it, but he just can't help himself.
Yeah. I mean, and it's... And he, you know, he ended up using it against Bane. He was just like, your actions, blah, blah, blah.
He's probably still feeling bad for getting that clone killed.
Yeah. Which brings me to my next point. I really like the Obi-Wan Cad Bane rivalry going on to try and win Evol's approval, because Evol's the key player in this. They both need him for completely different reasons. And Obi-Wan is, of course, trying to stop this kidnapping, assassination plot, whatever it is. And Bane just wants to get paid.
He just wants to get paid, and he knows Hardeen's bad news. He doesn't know. Yeah. I don't think he really knows why, but he doesn't. He does not. You know, his spidey sense is tingling on this one.
Yeah, and he's been around. I have to wonder, though, because last week when Obi-Wan went into the prison, all the prisoners were just like, Racco Hardeen killed a Jedi? What? So I'm wondering if, like, Bane might not know him personally, but he might have heard of him, and maybe he's just like, how do you kill a Jedi?
Right.
So maybe his, like, actual reputation... Because, you know, last week, Evol was like, your reputation...
Your credentials?
I just lost the word. I was just about to say it. Your...
Reputation?
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, the word completely just fell out of my brain. Your reputation precedes you, and I'm just sitting... But how everybody else was acting around him, he didn't seem like he had much of it.
Well, he was also fresh in the prison, too, so everybody was trying to get a beat on whether to like him or not, you know? So
yeah.
It could have been that factored in, I guess.
But that's all I have for Act 1.
Act 2?
Act 2.
Just gets you closer to watching that trailer again.
Oh, I want to do it so bad. So, Act 2. Obi-Wan wakes up captured by the guards and is hanging upside down. He's a prisoner of the Hutts, and they want answers for his two partners. Hardeen Kenobi tells them about the tracking device, and they free him. Kenobi gets his little smile that they just messed up. Evol is holoskyping Count Dooku, who is not happy by all of his delays. And Bane is like, hey, where's my money? And Evol says that he'll get paid when they reach the planet of Sereno. Suddenly, their ship shakes from being hit. The Hutts sent speeders to take them down. Engines fried, they have no choice but to crash land their second ship of the day. Back with Kenobi, he's done playing games. He uses the Force to free himself and knocks out the guard. Escaping, he calls into Wet Blanket Windu and Yoda like, hey, dads, so I'm going to be out later than I thought with a bounty on my head. It'd be nice if you took that bounty off my head. And I'm gonna need money. Okay, bye. And Wet Blanket gets the okay from Palpatine to remove the bounty from the fugitives in order to find Evol's plot. And there's Anakin hanging out in Palpatine's office, all brooding and hating sand. And Palpatine's like, maybe the Jedi Council don't trust you with feelings. And Anakin's all like, I can control my feelings. And Palpatine is like, well, if you want, go to Nal Hadda for me and kill Hardeen. That would be so helpful. Thanks. And Anakin's like, Ahsoka, get the car! We're taking a road trip! Meanwhile, Bane and Evol come back to Nal Hadda, where Hardeen Kenobi is like, hey, you're back! You want a drink? And Cad Bane is pissed, but not as pissed as Evol, knowing Dooku is breathing down his neck. Kenobi has his ships and wants 100% on the plan. Evol accepts, but Bane is even more suspicious of Hardeen. And Evol is like, girls, you're both pretty. Can we get going now? Oh my god. What'd you think of Act 2?
I liked how, it was funny because I was thinking when he bought the ship and came up to him, they're gonna be like, wondering how the hell he got money to get another ship. Just because he had to get money from them to pay for the last one, and Cad Bane picked right up on that, so I like that.
Yeah,
I love the Hutt ships. I love that the design of them, you can see that they're hut, you know? They look like hut architecture. They have a bit of those hut schooners that were in Return of the Jedi. It's just really cool. Because they're like, oh, the huts are attacking. And then I saw the ships. I'm like, oh, yeah, those are hut ships, even though I don't know what hut ships look like. And Obi-Wan gives basically the equivalent of the I don't know if you've ever seen Young Frankenstein, but it's an old gag. It's the, like, whatever I do, whatever I say, don't open this door. No matter how much I beg, don't open this door. And then instantly going, open the door, open the door. That was, Obi-Wan was sort of giving him that order.
Yeah.
Now we're seeing okay, if Palpatine's involved with this, now he's knowingly sending Anakin after Obi-Wan.
That was one of my notes.
And it's like, that's a volatile plan. That could backfire on him.
Yeah.
Because if he does kill Obi-Wan and Anakin finds out that he killed Obi-Wan and he finds out that Palpatine had anything to do with it at any point in his career, which would probably be a point after he'd been turned to Darth Vader, that could piss him off. That could turn him again with Darth Vader. Or it could be very good for Palpatine, because if he does kill Obi-Wan, has no idea that Palpatine had any involvement in it, he's going to blame the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be even more to Palpatine's advantage. So it's a volatile plan, but it's looking like Palpatine's behind it.
And we know he has to be behind it, or at least behind the assassination attempt, because Dooku is just like, Eval, I'm your boss. Please go kidnap and or assassinate Palpatine. So if Dooku's behind it, you know that Sidious is behind it.
Right. And I did catch one of did you catch the Psy Snoodles?
Yeah!
Drunk, and it's like drunk ladies' night out. Psy Snoodles is the drunk one getting carried between her, and she's just like, I love you guys. It's great.
Why did I put that note about her in Act 3? Let me move this up. Because it was definitely
Wrong. I could be wrong with my placement of it, too, but I thought it was in Act 2.
Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and move my note up, because I might as well. Why not? Since we're talking about her.
But that's all I have.
I just, you know, talking about Psy Snoodles, I do like that little cameo of her. She's drunk and adorable. And you know, like, I never would have thought about it before, but after our episode for Hunt for Zero, I have a real new appreciation for her, because, I mean, we've
she's a character now. She has a story and a personality. And you can have her turn up, because she's a singer. She could be on the circuit, you know.
And
she's playing the CD bars, you know.
And she was on Nal Hada in that episode, too. But, like, we also determined in that episode that she is a very strong female character. Like, she was the femme fatale. She was the smart, coy one of the episode. And we had determined that. So, like, after that episode, I have much more appreciation for Psy Snoodles. I think she's great. I absolutely love that little girl.
But they have her in a different moment. They have her in just, like, an off moment where she's gotten too drunk and her friends are, like, taking her back to her hotel room or whatever to put her to bed, you know?
Yeah. Well, my notes for this section is, here's Palpatine weaving distress of the Jedi Order into Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
Just sewing away. And again, like you said, you know, totally Palpatine is sending Anakin after Hardeen in hopes to kill Obi-Wan, because Palpatine is sneaky, sneaky. Sneaky, sneaky Papa Palpatine.
Yipper.
And then just my other note for this episode is, I again just have to question the Jedi Order. At this point now, it was a question of last week, and especially now at this point, why are they not letting Anakin in on this plan? They know Anakin is a wild card.
If he knew what was going on, he could actually work to their advantage by chasing after them and not catching them and trying to, you know, he could manipulate that, you know, it could totally be, they could use him to fake kill Hardeen if they needed Obi-Wan back, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be hard for the Jedi Council to go, hey, Anakin, by the way, Obi-Wan is alive and undercover. Go take the day off, go to the Jedi spa, take a nap, and just stay out of the way for, like, 3 days. Just stay underground, because then people will just think that you're mourning, you know? You think your master's dead? Go stay in your room for 3 days. We'll come get you when he's back. Yeah, I mean, like, it wouldn't
you're,
be hard.
You're sulky anyway. Yeah, go sulk.
Yeah. And so, like, I just have to question the order on this one, because it's a bad idea to
well,
not
Well, I like that they have Yoda acknowledging all that in it. So at least, you know, we know it was something the writers were aware of when they were writing it. You know, it's not like a nitpick. It's like something that, you know, the writers were like, this is a bad plan, and Yoda recognizes it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just...
Even though it's not going that badly, actually, so far.
Yeah, Obi-Wan's been pretty enjoyable. But that's all I had for Act 2.
Oh, ready for Act 3? I know you are.
Let's wrap this puppy up so we can watch the trailer again.
Yes.
So Act 3. Just as Yvol, Bane, and Hardy and Kenobi are getting on their ship, Anakin and Ahsoka show up to crash the party. Luckily, they take off before Anakin sees them, so they're fine. Anakin and Ahsoka go to a saloon. Anakin force chokes the bar owner until he says that they just missed the fugitives, and they hurry out. Back on Coruscant, Wet Blanket calls Rex, who wants to speak to Anakin. Rex is like, he's not here right now. Can I take a message for you? And Palpatine comes out of his office, which Rex is guarding, by the way, and tells Windu that he sent Anakin to Nal Hadda. And Mace is like, what are you talking about, fool? And Palpatine hangs up on Windu. The Wet Blanket doesn't want to chance getting Obi-Wan killed. But finally, Yoda is like, do you want to read this in the Yoda voice?
Shady, too long we have been. Be free, the truth will set us. Both of them you will warn.
Thank you. Anakin finds out that the ship's cellar only gave Obi-Wan enough fuel to make it to the next filling station owned by his brother, because that's actually a brilliant business scheme. So good job, cheap ship guys. Sure enough, Yvol, Bane, and Hardeen Kenobi are at the space gas station, and Yvol is so about done with all of this shit. Anakin and Ahsoka arrive, and Ahsoka is like, I know that hat anywhere. It's Cad Bane. They give chase after the fugitives, not knowing that Obi-Wan is on board. Anakin jumps out of his ship, and Hardy and Kenobi suggest killing him. But Bane wants to murder the Jedi this time. He is a Jedi killer, after all. Bane flies outside to take on Anakin. Obi-Wan does some fancy flying, or crashing again in this case, and he accidentally hits Ahsoka's ship, causing both his and the Jedi fighter to crash. Bane and Anakin fall to the ground. Obi-Wan runs out into the fog to make sure Anakin is okay. Anakin springs out of the fog, tackling him to the ground. Before Anakin can accidentally kill Obi-Wan, Cad Bane stops him. Obi-Wan jumps into the fray and punches Anakin in the face, you know, to make up for years of stress training this young man. Obi-Wan puts Anakin in a sleeper hold and knocks him out, telling him quietly not to follow. Before Bane can kill Anakin, Beast Mode Ahsoka jumps out of the fog and crouches over Anakin's body to protect him. Yvol has their ship working, and the three fugitives flee. Anakin wakes up, feeling through the Force that somehow Obi-Wan is still alive. He doesn't get it yet, but he will find out. The end.
Oh, he will find out.
Yep. So what do you think of Act 3?
I'm just like... I was a little frustrated over the whole, like, we've got to tell him, and yeah, finally. But the only note I had is, Obi-Wan finally gets to punch Anakin in the face several times.
Not once, like 12 times. And, he just wails into his face.
And he beats him. I would have, you know, yeah, in hand-to-hand, he beats him. And Ahsoka in beast mode is great. She's just like, boom, right there, and they're just like, and they know she's not coming after him. She's just there to make sure that her other father isn't dead. And they're just, and Cad Bane's comfortable enough to even mess with her a little bit before he walks off and then, you know, put his hat on leisurely and saunter off. It's a really nice scene. The line where she said, I'd recognize that hat anywhere or whatever, who else would have that hat, is a great follow-up to the, you know, the earlier conversation they had when he was like, you're going to call attention to yourself with that hat. And he's like, hey, everybody here is flamboyant, you know, come on. So that was a nice set him up, knock him down.
That moment of Ahsoka jumping out of the fog is so pretty.
Yeah, but that's all I had.
So for my notes, you know, between the slaver arc and this one, Anakin is just giving Ahsoka more and more reason to question his judgment.
Mm-hmm.
He walks right into a bar and just strangles a guy.
Yeah, and he could have killed somebody if he had to, too. And she was just sort of like, she's getting used to it, but she's not happy with it. And she's not getting any happier at all with it, you know. It's getting old.
I'm wondering if, though, this time around, because she doesn't know that Obi-Wan is alive,
right,
if maybe, you know, because she's also mourning.
She's also upset, yes.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if she's a little bit more tolerant this time around, just because she's angry and upset and hurt and sad. So that's the one, because unlike the slaver arc, whenever Anakin did that, like, we saw Anakin kill a slaver, and Ahsoka shook her head at him, and he was, like, choked a guy, and she was just like, master, and stuff.
She might be more tolerant of it, but she's not into, you know, she's not going to do it herself, you know?
I just feel like maybe because she's also hurting this time, she was a little bit more okay with it.
I think earlier on she had her flirting with that sort of, with, you know, holding a lightsaber to someone and threatening them, and then decided she wasn't good at that, wasn't what she was going to do.
Yeah. So, okay, so we got our answer. So Palpatine was not in on the Jedi's plan, but I think he secretly was. But the Jedi Council kept Palpatine out of this plan with Obi-Wan. And so, on one hand, I'm kind of glad that the Council didn't tell Palpatine about it, but on the other, Palpatine, I'm not surprised that he was like, Anakin, go kill Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Like, there's something missing there. Like, somehow Palpatine... Maybe Palpatine doesn't know that Hardin is Obi-Wan. Maybe he just said
that. That's what I'm thinking. He might not even know, and he might just be... He might be... Then that would make his decision a little bit rash, you know?
Yeah, so I'm thinking maybe, like, he was just like, at least, at the very least, I can have Anakin go revenge kill somebody, which is a very Sith thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And it's also an outside the Jedi thing, so it might sow some conflict with Anakin and the Jedi, too.
Yeah.
He also knows Anakin's upset, so Anakin could go out there and, you know, do something crazy that could piss off the Jedi Council, too.
Yeah. But I don't know, I'm getting the feeling that Palpatine doesn't know. And then, sorry, I'm...
Hopefully we'll find out in the next episode.
Yeah. And so, okay, so I have one massive, glaring problem with this episode.
Okay.
And so one thing I like about this episode is we do get to see kind of the daily lives of the bounty hunters and, like, you know, where they shop, you know, how they get their stuff. But, like, there's nothing really major that happens to this episode other than Anakin fighting Bane, which is cool. Like,
yeah,
it's a chase, basically. Yeah, there's no big developments. And so if they had addressed with the Council last episode of, like, the Council telling Anakin that, hey, Obi-Wan is undercover, you could have cut this entire episode. You know, if they would have told Anakin last episode... You don't need this episode. What happened? They went shopping, they bought a ship, and they fought. Like, nothing.
You could have cut it, but you didn't really need to cut it. It was entertaining.
Yeah, and so, but the thing is like, you could have used this episode space in, like, another arc, you know, but, like, nothing happened in this episode. There's no plot at all. Though I will say the fight of Bane versus Anakin and that whole end scene is just really cool.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy that we have that. But I have a problem when I watch 22 minutes of an episode and nothing happens. Like, use that time for something else. I mean, or you could have had the entire episode of, you know, Anakin found out, and then he's, as you said, trying to help them along and, like, quote-unquote chase them and manipulate things and stuff, too. So, like, there's just so many other ways you could do it, which is what gives me just the glaring problem I have with this was nothing happened in this episode.
I'm okay with that. It's the middle of a three-parter, so it's just...
Four-parter.
Four-parter? Okay, so it's one of the early... It's like an early set piece. So there's still plenty of room for story.
Yeah. But,
just a chase. This one was just like the dominoes tumbling forward.
And I guess you can argue for Bane, because, like, he's the one that's questioning Hardeen. Like, he knows that something's up.
And it's fun watching Hardeen win and lose favor in it, you know, with Eval and stuff. So it's fun to watch the drama of it. It's not developing much of it, anything character wise or anything like that, or we're not finding out much about the plot, but it's you know, it's sort of fun watching the everything in action, you know, and going on. It's moving forward all the time, you know. Three ship crashes, four ship crashes in this episode.
Yeah. And I will say, I don't want to be mistaken. I like the episode. I do like the episode. And I probably sound like a little bit of a hypocrite because I'm always down for character episodes over plot. But there's not even a lot of character development, so give me plot. And so I like it, but that's my one big problem with this episode, because I got to the end of the episode and I was looking at it and I was like, wait, Anakin didn't find out that Obi-Wan's undercover?
Right.
Did he not hear him? And then I stopped and I was like, what actually happened in this episode? Nothing. They got a ship and got away. That's what happened.
Yeah, at the end of the episode, that's all that's different.
Yeah, though it's totally worth it to see Beast Mode Ahsoka jump out of the fog. That's still cool.
That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of there's a lot of neat stuff in that 22 minutes.
Yeah, and I like I said, I do like the episode, but that was like my one big problem with the episode. But I still really like it a lot. But that's all I have.
You want me to score her up?
I'm ready for you to score her up.
I really like this episode. I did not like it as much as the last one, which was, you know, introduced the concept, so it was just like, oh, so this one's just furthering the concept. And, but I gave it extra points for some of the little extra bangles on it, like size noodles, and I gave it an 8.5.
Nice!
So once again, I'm scoring way higher than you.
Yeah, you are.
It's very unusual.
For me, like I just said, I do really like a lot of things in this episode. I do like getting to see the daily life of a bounty hunter and, like, how they get their equipment and stuff like that. And I do really like the rivalry between Cad Bane and Obi-Wan pretending to be Hardeen. And like you said, the like little things with Sice Noodles, which is a nice callback. And Obi-Wan is really, really smart. But I do have a problem with this episode, too, which is, God damn it, Council, tell Anakin the truth. That would fix so much in all of this. And as a result, you could cut this entire episode. It's not needed. Though it's still totally worth it for the Bane versus Anakin fight and Beast Mode Ahsoka jumping out of the fog, which is still... I watched that one part like four times because it's such a cool moment.
Just
want to
make
a
gif out of it or something.
She like battle screams. Like she jumps out of the fog and she's just like... Rah!
Yeah. If she was a frilled lizard, she'd have her frill all the way out. Yeah.
Yeah, like she jumps out like a mama bear and is just like sitting over
her
baby.
If she was a cat, all her hair would be on end.
Yeah, so like there's a lot of things I like in this episode, but I still have like major issues with it too. So I give it a 7 out of 10, which is an average score.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad score. It's my average episode score. So, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page, especially on iTunes, because when you rate and review us on iTunes, it helps people find the show. So if you like us, dislike us, let us know. This week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode, my favorite episode of Clone Wars, Carnage of Krell.
And apparently it's not just your favorite episode or because Robert Bell says, "This is the episode I've been waiting for you guys to cover."
Yeah, it is.
Well, now we've covered it. I hope you liked it. I'm assuming that was before he listened to the episode. And then Hope Mullinex says, "I fought a tropical storm to bring it to you guys, so I hope you enjoy it." And yes, you did.
I did.
All right. Paul C. Kelly says, "Dogma, please," was called out to Dogma by his conscience as Luke called to Darth while getting zapped by the Emperor's Force Lightning. "I was glad that Krell was not killed by that Vixus, where it would have been anticlimactic to have him killed in that way. I thought he was going to, that's how he was going to go. Much better aftermath, by the way. I had to research that name, Vixus. Some interesting things I found out about Vixus. Well, I was curious if they were related to the Sarlacc." Yeah, they are very similar to the Sarlacc. "They shared an ancestry with the Wrathter, Blixus, and Sarlacc. Tup is the man, though, for baiting Krell. Awesome final showdown. I think showing Dogma in handcuffs is good to show, because I think it shows how darkness is clouding everything showing up, showing the progression of what they are all doomed for in Episode 3. Yeah, that's a good point. Who knows if the majority of the Jedi even believed the case against Krell, true? Palpatine is the Supreme Chancellor with emergency powers, as we know, so he could use what he has in his power to try to disprove, despite what is right in front of their faces. Although I'm guessing that when he does his full, like, I don't care what you think, that there's some sort of holo-recording going on of him, you know, that they could show the Jedi. All right, back to Paul C. Kelly. R.I.P. Waxer. I have a cool art print of Waxer in his special ops mask. I can see Numa the Twilight Girl standing at his funeral crying, holding her toucan doll he gave her. I'm turning to Patrick Delmore. Imagine if they put that scene in. Yeah, imagine that, Hope.
Oh, I've thought about it and seen fan art and everything.
Such sadness, but a great story.
I've seen fan art of Boyle returning to Numa and telling her, and like all it is
breaking the news.
Well, all it is Boyle crouching down in front of her and her crying under her Tuca doll. And I was just like, oh, why do you hurt me so?
All right, and we've got one from Brian Weber. What are the odds that the best arc of Clone Wars would be covered at the same time Umbara is introduced to the MMORPG Star Wars The Old Republic? I don't know what the odds are. Never tell me the odds. Probably the same odds that a Yoda cup could just happen to fill out one of your collections. Oh, yes. And by the way, thank you for that Yoda cup. I put it with the other cups the other day, actually. They're in a box now. They will be displayed at some time, though. And glad y'all enjoyed the stuff. Yes, we did enjoy the stuff.
You did actually have a picture of Obi-Wan, too, that said, "Don't ever tell me the odds." I didn't include the picture.
I'm looking at my Dooku pin right now. I love my Dooku pin. He looks so crabby in it.
I want to get, like, a bulletin board or something just to stick all my pims on.
I've got, like, this, like, silk, piece of silk cloth that was, I don't know if it's the term is batik. It's sort of like tie-dye, but it's different than tie-dyeing. You are tying and dyeing, but it comes out with a more distinct pattern, you know. I'm not sure, but I have all my pins hanging on that. And it's actually a real pain to put a pin on my pin thing, because I have to lean over all my desk and my, like, my record player and everything to sort of do it. But I'm getting a pretty good collection of pins. All right, we got one from Aaron Henley. "I have been so waiting for this episode. Now that it's out, here's the things I've been holding back for so long. When this story arc first premiered, I thought that this was the reason the Clone Wars switched so easily when Order 66 was given." I agree with that. "Since there wasn't any mention of a control chip at the time, I assumed Order 66 was a result of this generated by whatever military Senate oversight committee, with Palpatine at the head, of course, and distributed to the troops just in case something like this happened. Since this was the 501st and the 212th were the units involved in both sides in the first to act during Order 66, it made sense to me that this was the reason they turned so quickly on the Jedi."
I could see that.
Yeah, I could totally see that. "Also, the 501st remained loyal to Anakin, and he was still following the rules of the Republic and the Chancellor, and after Windu's battle with Palpatine, with him stating that Jedi were now traitors, I'm sure any footage suddenly got lost after that due to Jedi interference. The Jedi were viewed as having suddenly gone rogue and needed to be stopped at all costs, just like Krell. So Order 66 made a lot of sense after this, which is why I think this wasn't brought up again in the series. I'm sure Dave Filoni and Henry Gilroy would have addressed it as we move closer to the start of Revenge of the Sith, as they are too good to not follow up on something like this, but we know what happened. Then came the revelation about the control chips and threw this theory out the window, but it was good while it lasted.
Yeah, and we talked about how, as I was reading Dark Disciples, which would have been a Clone Wars episode, they brought up Krell again. So they did have plans to bring up Krell again.
They were still thinking about him, yeah.
Yeah, so it just didn't get brought up because Clone Wars, of course, got canceled, and then it got put into the Dark Disciple book, which was, like 8 episodes of Clone Wars. Like, 8 of them. So, well, thank you guys for your feedback. So, because Chris is a big old baby and he hates American Kit Kats and he thinks they're the devil and they're going to come kill him in his nightmares and his sleep, our friend Dario Gonzalez is a flight attendant and he sends us candy from all over the world to review. This week we are doing gel rings, which is, we'll say, chocolate-covered gummy candy.
And that's what they look like, or some sort of jelly candy.
I love jelly candy. I'm just unsure about the chocolate on the jelly candy. Where is this from?
Me too. Dario said these are from Brooklyn, but they're big in India. Huh. I like that we go from feedback to the feed bag.
Feed bag. Okay.
They smell. They do. They already smell like jelly.
And fruit and chocolate.
Okay.
Wow, what a weird taste and sensation.
They're kind of exactly what I thought. You know what they're like? They're like when you get a sampler box of chocolates, you know? There's always a few jelly ones like this that are chocolate with this. Except these are rings. It's more jelly-like than gummy, that's for sure, but it's still...
Yeah. I don't know, I'm always I just got distracted because I noticed a little Sikh man in the label. He's really cute. He has a little pink Death Star on his head. Anyway.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, oh my god,
he has a little pink Death Star. He's wearing one. It's so cute. And the only reason I know that because a character in my book is Sikh, and he wears a Death Star as part of his superhero costume. So, I love jelly candy, and I love chocolate. I just don't like them when they're together.
And they're not two great tastes that go great together.
Yeah, and like gummy candy is some of my favorite candy.
I love gummy candies.
I love gummy bears. I love jelly bellies. I love gummy candy, but not with chocolate. It has this kind of weird it almost tastes too artificial. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big jelly candy. I'm not jelly candy is not my jam.
So, I mean, I love, gummy candy and stuff like that. I just don't like it with chocolate because together it tastes like artificial, chocolate-covered roses.
I don't think the two textures go together well for me.
Yeah, it has, this weird, kind of, I don't know how to explain it. It tastes like I'm eating a fake rose with perfume. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But with chocolate perfume.
Yes, totally. Totally.
I figured this is what this one would taste like, so being one of the first in our new box of candy, I just wanted to get this one out of the way. I like the little Sikh man and his Death Star, though. It's cute. I like you, friend.
He looks sort of a mixture of between my Mexican boss, my late Mexican boss, Jesus Duarte, Mario, a Sikh version of my... of Jesus Duarte and Mario mixed together. Although Jesus Duarte looked a lot like Mario, too, so they're sort of interchangeable in a lot of ways.
I'm wondering where his beard is, because in Sikhism, they don't trim facial hair. It's a religious thing. But I will say it's been a because I have a Sikh character in my book, I've had to do a lot of research on it. It's been a recent trend in Sikhism where the younger generation has started doing away with that because they're like, I don't want my beard this long. So that's been a more recent trend. But I'm assuming this Joyva company, this has probably been around for a while. So if they're going to have an older Sikh man image, where's his beard?
Well, he could, maybe he's a specific character that we don't know who he is, you know?
That's true.
Like Popeye or something, but he's, you know, this character from a story, you know, maybe he's supposed to be Sinbad or something, you know?
I'm looking it up. Oh, he looks like a sultan on their website. Mm-hmm. That looks even worse. Or he might not be Sikh at all. Because Joy of a Candy is kosher parvay, which is commonly
he's
found in...
He's actually in very good health.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if that... It's based out of Brooklyn, though. So maybe... I could just be very wrong. Maybe he's not Sikh at all.
It would not be weird for a company in Brooklyn to be run by Sikhs, though. So,
yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe.
We'll do some more research. Maybe Dario knows and he'll tell us.
Yeah. Well, that's all I have. Where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com, Last Jedi Trailer, where we have all of our podcasts. We have podcasts about the Last Jedi Trailer, and we got another podcast that has the Last Jedi Trailer in it. And Last Jedi Trailer. And we have a Facebook page, a Two True Freaks Facebook page, that if you put in Two True Freaks, you'll see us probably talking about the Last Jedi Trailer on that.
I was gonna say, they're probably talking about it right now.
Uh-huh. And we have a Twitter feed where we first heard about and saw the Last Jedi Trailer, and that's run by Gene, the podcasting machine.
Do-do-do, sorry, I was on Twitter again. Do-do-do-do-do, Gene.
I was going to go, do-do-do-do-do, Last Jedi.
Last Jedi. Sorry, I got back on Twitter again, and I was just like, oh, wait, it was my thing.
She heard me say Twitter, and yeah. So, Hope, where can they find you watching the new Last Jedi trailer?
You can find me at Jagasm Jedi, where I have already tweeted about the Last Jedi trailer. And you can also find me at Hope Molnax on Twitter, which I also already tweeted about the Last Jedi trailer. And I'm also the news writer for whatthefangirl.com. This will probably, though the Last Jedi trailer will probably be covered to death around the webs, so I probably won't be covering it because everybody else has probably already done it in the last hour since the Last Jedi trailer has dropped. So... Okay, guys, come back next week. I gotta go watch the Last Jedi trailer.
Last Jedi trailer.
Bye.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Freaks.